The verdict for OTI Racing.
Offering unique and inclusive racing experiences.
Find out more at oti.com.au.
On RSN927's Racing Pulse, welcome to The Verdict.
The point has been made that this is still a work in progress. He's very talented, but he's not the perfect racehorse yet, and he's not invincible.
Couple of so-so internationals come out and knock us for six yet again in the Cox Plate.
But for racing, Ole Kirk's had, what, six starts, seven starts? We don't want to see him retired.
There's an intense sense of urgency after the review of 2018. We've still had another fatality, so this has to be fixed before next year.
We actually need to come to the point where we have stats, we have understanding, we have input from all of the sources involved, and we can have a well thought out plan for next spring.
Jamie Carr's been an absolute revelation, not just this spring carnival, but what she's been able to do on and off the track. One of the great ambassadors for racing.
Is it a given that the racing crowd will necessarily transplant itself a month later and still be as engaged as they are in the traditional sort of mindset?
That is a big question. We don't know.
They're guesses.
Welcome to the Monday edition of The Verdict. It was a big weekend of racing, let's be honest. Let's get straight to it, cut to the chase. It was a bloodbath on Saturday. It was one of the toughest punting days I can recall, Ballarat Cup Day. Hats off to Jane Ivell. Racing.com's Jane Ivell was picking the eyes out of them in the mounting yard. But for the regular punter, the ones that I was sitting next to on Saturday, you, Matty Stewart, and others, it was a tough, tough old day.
It was a tough day. It was actually interesting talking to Winksy and Dwayne about what does the mounting yard expert see that the punter doesn't see, like through the eyes of Jane Ivell. And Dwayne said, oh, yeah, I'll look at their shins and their legs and their whatevers and all this sort of stuff. So there is an element to the jigsaw puzzle of what you see in the mounting yard, but Jane saw it better than anyone else, and we certainly didn't. Just not sure with these to my mind, with most of these standalone Saturdays, does the track race up to the standard that you'd hope for it to be treated like for like for a city meeting?
Don't know. It was a little bit, well, it became pretty evident that it helped to be on speed as the day went on, didn't it? And that ground got quicker.
Which you get that I in think city is, tracks as well.
Yeah, you do, but you haven't got that body of work, I guess you'd say, with these provincial tracks on a Saturday to say whether it is or isn't the case, generally speaking. The way the track played didn't make it easier, but the nature of the fields, I think, as a starting point, they were wide, when we were discussing them on Friday, they were wide, wide open. Wide open. And the favourites, look, there were a couple of favourites that were really well back. Look, Shelby Cobber and Right You Are. I think it's fair to say the first probably didn't come out of it all that well. He began at the paddock, and Right You Are, maybe it was second up syndrome, but apart from that, they were very open markets. So there's probably no surprise there were some generous winning prices, but probably not. I don't think anyone would expect nearly every race to be double figure winners.
Well, there were three horses that were smashed in the market prior to the meeting beginning, and they got into pretty much odds on even money, and all three were pretty disappointing.
Well, at least, I don't know about that. The Astrologist ran really well. He ran a really good race.
Yeah, fair.
The way the track was playing, Sistar was the leader, controlled the speed. The Astrologist probably settled back two to three pairs further back than many people thought. And
well, Craig Williams came out subsequently and said he made a blue. He would have, if he had his time again, he would have been up closer on speed.
I didn't look at the Stewards report, which I probably should have, but because I did get a text from a guy who's a pretty, you know, educated punter. He said he rarely has he seen on a good track so many horses ducking and diving. Not the bias, but just the track, if you know what I mean. And that's not casting aspersions, that's just relating what someone said to me.
Suggesting it was firm, too firm, perhaps?
Just a little bit inconsistent is what he was suggesting. So I should have looked at the Stewards report, but I haven't. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not trying not to be harsh, but if you're going to have and you do get bias at city meetings, and every time it's one in the country, you sort of say, oh, it's because it's a country track and it's not a city track. But if it happens in the city, you know.
I think it was only towards the end of the day when it started to dry out on the fence. I think you can be fair. Riding the wave came from back in the first and won like a star. The Gouch was the other horse I was thinking of that was really disappointing at the start of the day.
But when a country meeting has a standalone status, it has to be pristine so people can't say, oh, gee, why do we have so many standalone Saturdays out of the city? So, anyway.
Don't worry about the Gouch. We were on Riding the Wave. Who cares about the Gouch? Not the Gouch the jockey, but the horse.
The Gouch started $2.10 favourite. I know you tipped Riding the Wave. So
I don't care about the Gouch.
I'm just saying that it was a disappointing favourite, Sharky. I know that you started
the day
very
well. Self-interest, Michael.
That is the only interest.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens at Pakenham on Saturday week, that you know how it presents, because these are our most pristine country tracks. So you get a couple of Mornington's, which people don't like. They don't like the transition from City to Mornington on standalone Saturdays. But you've got a Bendigo, you've got a Ballarat, you've got a Pakenham and two Mornington's. So it's just an interesting balance, you know. Other states do it as well. Because I thought Kembla looked like a country track hosting $1 million race on Saturday.
It is.
That's
exactly what it is.
No, but it looked like a country track. Yeah. It didn't look like a city track or a Randwick or something like that. So, you know, I know it is a country track.
it was a tough day for the punters. And yes, it was leaderish towards the end of the day, but I don't want to put a spear through Ballarat just on that, because traditionally people love the Ballarat surface, and since they've done the Reno a couple of years ago, it has raced a lot more fair than what it did going back. I remember going back 3 or 4 years ago, all you needed to do was get to the front and you'd be winning.
Yeah, and particularly on Ballarat Cup Day, that was often a pattern. I can remember Ballarat Cups going back to the age days or pre the age days when I was studying up there, and
when
that
you were
was the
in
case.
You were in the convent college,
ACU,
studying to become a father.
Well, no, not quite, but yes,
you were going to be a priest at one stage.
Were you in a seminary?
No, I don't know where you're getting that from.
Should we watch what we say around you? Like,
I pray for you every day, man.
Yeah, and still there's been no one replying. What about the result, though? And look, I did not have Irish Flame in any quaddies. I did not back it. But when you look back on the race, you go, gee, that was a lovely result. The combination of Brett Scott, Michael Walker. I did not know the backstory with Michael until we were chatting.
Did I.
He was apprenticed. When he walked into a stable, Brett Scott was the foreman, and Brett Scott basically taught him how to ride.
Yeah.
And then they all come together on Saturday and win with Irish Flame. And gee, for Brett Scott, where he's come from too, it's a wonderful story.
There was a nice sort of moment of reflection watching that replay back, and you could see Walker trying to get in and get a spot, and he's so frustrated, he's sort of half shaking his head that he can't, you know, how did I get in this predicament? And then post-race, and Brett Scott, it was like he was shaking his head that the horse had won in that photo. It was so deceptive, those three horses going to the line together, and what looked like Gamekeeper was going to win the race, and all of a sudden just surged, these two have just lobbed, and with others chasing as well. It was a fantastic race to watch visually. It take away whether you're on the favourite or not, getting nosed on the post. The backstory just made it. It's nice to get that different storyline, Matty.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
The Brett Scotts of this world winning a very valuable race during the Spring Carnival, albeit at the tail end.
Yeah, exactly. So that what you just touched on then is really interesting to me too, because if you go back a week to Sandown, where the prize money was relatively terrible.
Yeah.
Then you've got the Pakenham Cup next week. They're all races in the similar sort of distance range. Like, if they're going to do a major review of what the racing calendar should look like at this back end of the spring in Melbourne, well, what are they going to do if we keep saying Sandown needs more prize money? Well, then that takes away from Ballarat.
Yeah.
And then what happens with Pakenham in 2 weeks' time as well? So if anything needs to, this cluster of races that should be worth more and ones that have prize money that got a field like Saturday, what do you do in this 4 week period with all these races? If you're going to do a clean slate review, you're going to look at this period, aren't you, Michael, and say, well, we've got 3 out of 4 weeks where we've got exactly the same races, 2 out of 10 and 1 at Sandown. Well, how do you divide this all up and be fair to all three? Do you pull one out and whack it at a different time of year? Does that make sense? Well, Pakenham, this is a grand final. Are they going to linger?
Well, it's in 2 weeks, Pakenham, so yeah. I don't know. There are a lot of horses in that race that could not go on. They rolled the dice again with the likes of Sosi Bon and others just to have another...
It was a massive afterthought for some of those horses.
Have another crack because it was $500,000 and they didn't race up to expectation. It's fair to remember, the way she hit the line, you could contemplate maybe going there. And I know Dan O'Sullivan said before the race, you know, this wasn't the target. We want to give her one more because it's the hometown cup and it's $500,000. She was a bit stiff. I thought she was going to run second last on the point of the turn. The way she got going with that Mark Zara weaving ride, it was a great run in the end.
Harlem as well. Harlem. Super. Yeah, at least there are a couple of Group 1 winners in the race. It was good to see at least one of them run really well. And Harlem with 61.5 was fantastic. Kingsville Dream, same weight, Group 1 winner. It's just the afterthought aspect when you see them running 13th, beaten 5.5 yep. in a Ballarat Cup, you just think,
Then how did that... Like, even in the Fair to Remember, remember you say she might have one more run in her. Well, the more you push, like, if you go with the traditional mindset, we're now getting into summer, which gets into autumn. Like, how long can they go before they have to rest and go again? The Pakenham Cup's worth $300,000 over 2,500 metres.
Gee, that's good money.
Well, 2,500 metres.
It does make Sandown look ridiculously light, doesn't it? So something's got to give because you can't have...
Sandown...
Well, they're all 150.
The Sandown Cup was 175 and I think the zipping was 300, yeah. Maybe. But I think this is what all needs to go into the melting pot of this review that is being done by Racing Australia, the pattern review. We know the MRC's put their submission. I don't know whether it needs a turn it on your head as... I suppose extreme is what was proposed this year because of coronavirus, but there certainly is tinkering that needs to be done.
Well, it's almost too much money at the, you know, like, you know, if you were to be negative, you'd say, well, there's a lot of money being thrown around now at the very end of a carnival where most of the horses are going to be falling off the edge of the perch.
But so. You've got to give some horses their opportunity to earn a big payday as well.
So is it the placement then of those meetings that you're...
I think you've got to place the prize money in the meeting at a time when you're going to maximise the best quality field.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'm trying to say.
The other aspect is there are only a finite amount of horses and at the top level that can continue racing because the Spring Carnival is a 12-week event now from when it first starts back end of August, start of September, all the way through. Not all the horses can keep going through.
That's right.
Do you create a circuit with country cups in the... over the summer period, and particularly the New Year's, so from February to March, maybe even into April, do you run a circuit of, 2,000 to 2,500 metre country cups during that point and make a progression for those lesser lights? Because, let's face it, all of the best stayers are trying to get in the Melbourne and Caulfield Cups, and they're targeting those Group 1, 2 and 3 races on the city tracks. If there's not the depth in the third tier, really, let's create some sort of, I don't know, series, progressive series for younger staying types that can go through. Yeah, maybe that's an idea.
Maybe it is. But who's... So when Racing Australia is doing the submission on behalf of the entire 12-month racing calendar, whose submission is it that covers the breadth of the 12 months? Like, everyone's got their own individual states and clubs. Like, I don't know. I find it hard to work out how RA is going to work their way through this.
But it may end up becoming a nice coffee table book that no one actually takes any notice of, because at the moment you can't get anything done unless both New South Wales and Victoria say yes, or you just go off and do what you want on your own, which New South Wales has done regularly. And now Victoria's starting to look at too with what they're saying about the whips and the All-Star Mile. But if you look back through past Ballarat Cup winners, Kawhi won the previous two, Grand Dreamer, Polite Desai, Janoub, Mujadal, the offer. These are not Group 1 horses, so it's not like it's a... It was actually one of the strongest cup fields we've had now. But no, I don't think anyone wants it to be a Group 1.
But no one said that.
But you're saying, well, you know, these big prize money in races and the fields up to expectation.
This was worthy... This was exactly what you wanted for the money.
Mm.
But Pakenham for 300 grand, what if they get a field of 7? And they're all legless and one run left just because for the hell of it. That's the scenario that I'm wondering may now happen at Pakenham.
But the problem for the money, they had Group 1 runners or winners in that field... But they were cooked.
Yeah.
Why do you want them there? You want a good horse going there and targeting the race for the money, so it wins or runs super, and you got a big talking point going forward from the race. I think A Fair to Remember has started to capitalise on the potential that she's long hinted at, and her late closing flashing runs being placed, although ironically, she did it again on the weekend. But she's putting some consistency together. She's nearly won that another nose on her, and she's won two stakes races in a row, which is a big effort.
Is there one horse... I mean, and I'm not bagging any of this. I'm just saying there's a few interesting things. Is there one horse in that Ballarat Cup who you can imagine running in the Pakenham Cup? If you go right through it, they're all at the end of the...
Well, it's 2,500 metres, didn't you say, the Pakenham Cup?
Yeah, I had a quick look with that in mind. No, I can't.
Well, I don't know what the separate pool of horses is. These are all the middle distance sort of staying horses. Where's your separate...
Would Gamekeeper go on in a couple of weeks?
I'll tell you one thing I did notice. The first three place kid has carried the high minimum of 56, and you know how everything's relative, but you still have to carry the 61.5s.
Which is what makes Harlem's run so much more impressive. And sadly for the connections, and a couple of them are friends of mine, it was that they were frustrated in the Coogee because the horse sort of got shuffled back, was ridden off speed, flew late at non-conformist till he gave 5 kilos or something ridiculous and arguably should have beaten him. Same story for them on the weekend. The horse stepped half slow, was back near second last, and it's rattled home. And you look at his spring preparation, he's been set for the right races that he could win, and he's had none of the luck, but he's run well every single time, Harlem.
But what I was saying was, you know how everything's meant to be relative. If the minimum goes up and the maximum goes up, no one's worse off. But the ones carrying the 61.5 still have to carry the 61.5,
don't they?
So maybe there's a bit of an advantage with this new weight scale on the bottom weights rather than the...
SMSs are flying through. I'll get through a few of them. Now, this is an interesting one. There's been a few on Twitter saying the same thing. A bugbear of mine is the sectional times on racing.com. They don't appear except for the Saturday Metro meeting. There was nothing on Ballarat Cup Day. Now, I don't think that's .com's issue. I think the fact is that because it was a provincial meeting, it was a country racetrack, that they... Would that be the reason why we didn't get the Saturday sectionals that we would normally do? And I would think if you're going to have a standalone Saturday meeting at Ballarat or Pakenham, that would be part of it, that you would need to have all of the, I suppose, bells and whistles that go with having these Saturday feature meetings.
Well, you could set up a timing system. Some of the provincial tracks you do get the sectionals, but that aside,
no, but on the screen live as you're watching the race.
But that live as you're watching the race, that's
what you want as a punter sitting at home.
But post race, I'm looking at the results here on .com 2 days after the fact. There are no sectionals there. No sectional timing provided.
Is that a trackers issue?
Well, I don't know if it's trackers. Racing.com talent use Vince Accardi's data. Now, Vince Accardi has sectional times for every track. He's already providing it for the talent, and you can bet your bottom dollar when they do the review shows, they'll have at the bottom Vince Accardi's data.
Well,
why can't we get Vince Accardi's sectional times up there? Or at least his field sectionals. We don't need all the magic benchmarks.
Matty Welsh and Nick Ashman are two of the best in the business when it comes to those sectional times and that. So text us if you're listening.
The data's there because they're using it.
Text us if you're listening, boys. But it could be a commercial decision. If Trackers is the Victorian provider of sectional times on the Victorian tracks, it could be a commercial deal that they have to provide the data on Racing.com's website. I don't know. But
okay, so they provide it on their website, but not on there as information for the talent. It doesn't make sense. Anyway,
well, I think individuals can gain access to whatever data they want.
True, but then use it on the screen.
As it's unfolding in real time on the screen, that's really good information.
That is the greatest stuff that we can have, is the live time sectionals on the coverage.
Trackers is only at Flemington,
every single
punter, Valley,
you would love to have it.
Caulfield and Sandown, according to Damien Ratcliffe, but that's fine. I understand.
So they wouldn't have had the timing facilities.
The on-screen sectionals are great, but post-race, when people are trying to work out how races are run, etc., you haven't got them on screen. That's one thing. If you're not watching it live, it's a moot point anyway. But you still need that sectional data to be able to review a meeting properly.
Oh, well, they can...
No, you do. More about that. Absolutely, you do. Other SMSs are coming through here. I'm not sure if you heard David Van Dyke just before the break. Great interview with David Van Dyke. Incredible openness from David Van Dyke. Love listening to him. It was great to get his perspective, his honesty and his acceptance.
You know what he said about having gratitude, and that's how he copes with addiction and everything else, and it stops him from getting caught on issues and things that previously may have caused him to react in a certain way. I don't think you have to be an addict or have, you know, a significant behavioural issue that you're trying to avoid to listen to what he said and get something out of it. And social media, people that like to play on that, it's probably a sage words for anybody that likes to indulge in that medium. Some things in life are worth reacting about, and others are simply not. Like, why get on the aggressive...
I've got to be honest. The
negative foot. Sometimes you just have to let life go and say, you know what, this is the way it is. I'm thankful that I'm here and I had the chance to work with the horse and get the results that he did. And yeah, it was actually beautiful listening to him this morning and just his perspective on life in general, let alone what's a blip on the radar of his life and his career.
And it seems to me, reading between the lines, that he's going to be a lot more happy and contented not having alligator blood in his stable, that even though he is a Group 1 horse, considering all of the external noise and pressures that may have come with training
for
that group.
You get an insight to that through certain exchanges on social media. You've met, David Van Dyke, whether how closely you guys are, but you've gone swimming together, you've had meals together. When you're in his company, what sort of person is he like, Matty?
He's carefully, very measured in what he says. Like, he thinks long and hard before he says anything. He's normal enough. Like, he's... The reason why he went to the coast from Warwick Farm, where it was serenity now, serenity now. It was very Frank Costanza. It was inner peace, and that these stages of recovery from addiction, they go for years and years and years and years. So it's been 10 years since he... was on the heroin, and 20 years since he was on the booze, and he knows that it's an endless journey. Like, he has to keep conditioning himself to clear away the clutter, the negative clutter, and there's nothing more negative than that bloody Alan Andres. So someone said to me at the start of Alligator Blood, when the Andres situation started to emerge, they said, this ain't going to last long, because he's going to put himself ahead of... He doesn't care. It could be Winks. He would still have made that decision. So... It was kind of a matter of time as to when it all blew up. I'm not sure if there was one final thing that drove it.
I know it was put on social media last night, and I know Damien Ratcliffe tweeted out a Facebook post as if written by Alligator Blood, and which is clearly written by Alan Andres. And there was just a lot of detail in there which you didn't need to put out on social media, saying that there was an owner, Blue, with David Van Dyke's partner. What will be interesting moving forward is that I think everyone publicly knows who has come out of this looking better than the other party. But who takes over Alligator Blood now? He's got the slight back injury. Because I just keep thinking of that wonderful Bart Cummings line that said, it's $150 a day to train your horse, $250 if you want to have input.
Well, Andres doesn't have input, had never had input into the programming of the horse, but he had input into everything else, like the whole... crap about the getting got at and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's just lunacy. It's Trump-like lunacy to me.
Not a bad comparison.
And I think the horse is now... Yeah, the other thing too, and this is, wouldn't have been one of David Van Dyke's priorities, but 90% of the best of the horses behind him. You know, he's plateaued out, all the form around him. Van Dyke never thought that horse was a superstar. He always just thought he was a well-placed, good horse, so... I think history has borne that out. None of those three-year-olds were superstars. He's having an injury. He's won a few million. I think David Van Dyke can comfortably move on and not be haunted by thinking that Alligator Blood is going to bob up in an arc and make him look silly. So that's it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the next chapter is. A few SMSs coming through about the Ballarat track. I thought it played substandard. It was signs of becoming leaderish appeared in race number 3. That's from Jeff. Another one here saying, my day got off to a flyer and only ended in pain thereafter. Had to go to the Sunny Coast to break even. That's from Damien.
Well, Sunny Coast was good. Ballistic Boy, Sugar Boom.
Sugar Boom's a nice horse.
So it's Ballistic.
When a lot of roughies get up, it sometimes hints that there's an issue with the track, I reckon. Doesn't always, but sometimes it does.
SMS here. Hi, Michael. How good was Snap Dancer from the Wide Draw?
Yeah, really good.
That's from Sandy from Ryan. I mean, you were on the first of the Brad Spicer horses,
Riding the Wave,
and Snap Dancer. So two nice horses that came through that program for Spicer Thoroughbreds.
I think Riding the Wave is probably capable of getting to stakes level. You know, that listed Group 3 level. I think that's within reach for him. The other 1,100 on the day was... faster. Arguably the track was getting quicker, but you know, fact is the other 1,100 on the day was faster. A really good result for Snap Dancer. I got to know the some of the people in that horse really well. Jeffy Goebbels and Luke Barker, terrific guys, and they've got a big crew of football teammates in the horse, and they'd been waiting desperately for another win with that with that mare, so they got it on the weekend. The lads were very happy.
A heap of SMSs. I'll get through as many as I can. Hey, boys, love the show. Would the Sandown race meeting be better moved to the autumn and use the Zipping Classic and the Sandown as an exemption race for a Caulfield Cup or a Melbourne Cup? Is that too hard or worth thinking about?
I think that's maybe the something that's worth thinking about. Something's got to pull out of this cluster at this time of year, and it might have to be Sandown, because I think the MRC would support that. They want to they want to pull it out anyway, I think, basically, don't they? So
don't tell me Stuart... hang on, what's this one? Don't tell me Stuart has Trump derangement syndrome.
Oh, is that Rita from Mount Eliza, is it?
I don't know. only needs tinkering at the edges. The All-Star Mile at $5 million is stupid. Chop it to $2 million, put the bulk of the other $3 million into Sandown and other races. Maybe a venue change. Swap weeks, Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate. So that's from Dave.
There's one. We discussed this on Saturday, and I know it's across the border, so I won't harp on it. But there's one country track that needs elevation to metro status, and that's Murray Bridge. Everyone's sick and tired of Morphettville and the Parks track. Everyone in South Australia, if they don't want to resurrect Victoria Park, which some of them actually trying to do, the big heavy hitters. The most easy no-brainer in Australian racing at the moment is to give Murray Bridge equal metro status to Morphettville, and then suddenly South Australian racing would look less monotonously Morphettville all the time.
Mm. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Here's one for your Pakenham Cup. Very progressive horse coming through this Wednesday. Charlie Rose, who won Simon Wild Stable, won on Melbourne Cup Week, maybe a Pakenham Cup horse.
Really nice horse.
A few SMSs just on the sectionals, couple disagreeing. Bang on Blue Eyes, we need live sectionals. And another one saying, why are the sectionals so important during a race? Doesn't affect how I watch a race. Can't change your bet. That's from Michael in Brisbane.
There are other people out there than you, Michael. But they like to see what the tempo is. You know, rather than relying on race course saying, well, they're going quickly, they're going slowly. The tempo.
Because you can learn your fate a bit in the run, and that's part of the thrill as well, isn't it?
Yeah, engage the pace.
Like, you know, when you're going, oh, this, you're out the back, and you think, oh, God, oh, and you see the section, you go, oh, this will suit me.
Yeah, this
whether it does or not, it still gives you a bit of a...
And Nick Egan has just confirmed what you said. Definitely no trackers at Ballarat, and Vince Accardi sectionals generally don't come through until the following morning. But you're saying it's a Monday, and we still don't have any.
Yeah,
have any
if
there.
They're coming through. Vince is a really affable bloke. Surely we can do an arrangement to get some sort of field sectionals up there.
Hello, Michael. It's all about being agile on the day.
Agile.
Adapting to on-speed bias. I changed my Cordy numbers late and added in Titan Blinders. God bless it. Cheers from Bill. Well, I hope you got the Cordy because it paid $35,000, Bill. So,
wow.
Well done to you if you did get that Cordy as well. We're going to take a break in a moment and come back with Bob Peters. But just wrapping up, any horses to take out of the meeting? Who would you rather take out of that meeting if you were going to put the bridle on one horse? Sharky, we haven't spoken about the Clockwise. Great training performance by John Sargent to bring his two-year-old down here from Sydney and win.
Yeah, it was ready available. A bull point that came out of Tassie, I believe.
25,000.
Yeah, it was a really... There's a couple to follow over summer. Look, there's nothing I think we're going to get carried away with and say this is a superstar going forward or anything like that, but the Astrologist to win probably next start. Around similar grade, it's going really well. Aussie Nugget is in for a very good prep in the last. I loved its run. I thought it was very, very good in the last race. And the other horse that I'd probably want to... You know, you've got to forgive Right You Are. I just think, give him another go. The other one there was High Stranger. It's having a really good prep too. Since I worked out last time around that it was a run-on sprinter, not a miler, although it's one out to that trip, he's finding the line with absolute purpose.
Skidore's still on the up, and he'll probably have to go through summer. Skidore might be a regular winner over summer.
Might be a Pakenham Cup horse, actually, because he got out to a Derby trip last time around.
Yep.
This is a good SMS just before we take a break. Fellas, the best performance of the weekend was Levante at Pukekohe. The last 250 metres, he won by two. Last at the 250, he won by two untouched. I've been telling you blokes for weeks $4 was absolute burglary. And
first time I've heard about Levant.
No, this is a good horse, and you haven't put your name on it. Is this the cuzzy bro that keeps texting from New Zealand? Because he has been sending through SMSs about this horse, so he is one to
follow.
We
haven't been reading them out.
Do you know what? He did know. There was an SMS sent on the Friday Form Focus, but and I meant to get to it, but you waffled on for too long, so apologies.
You're ruining lives.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Bob Peters and the Wizard. What about the ride on Inspirational Girl?
Serenity now!
RSN 927's Racing Pulse presents The Verdict.
Material Man Kemantari working his way through, and here comes Inspirational Girl. She's starting to thread her way through the field. Inspirational Girl, Pike under hands and heels, ranges up, grabs the lead. It's a winning hat trick for the Wizard, and goes home Inspirational Girl. Uni Time from last. There's a run down the outside, probably second from Too Close to the Sun. Cup night.
Inspirational Girl winning the Group 1 Railway on Saturday. Absolutely smashed by punters. 350 into 260. It was Willie Pike, the Wizard, at his absolute best, weaving his way through the field, and she now takes her record to 11 starts, 9 wins, a second and a third, and is on the verge of $1 million in prize money. The 5-year-old mare by Reliable Man, Bob Peters, who owns Inspirational Girl, winning another railway, is on the line with us this morning. Bob, congratulations. That was a very impressive performance on Saturday.
Good morning, and thank you.
How many railways is that now, Bob?
That's 5 now.
Is the thrill always the same, Bob, as the more you win, or does it get a bit common after a while?
No, I think a lot of trainers will tell you, you have a lot of horses, that sometimes it's a thrill, but it's mainly a relief when you... when you aim, at a particular race, and then you win the race, you get relief as much as anything. Excuse me.
Bob, this is a bit of a different one for you, because you didn't breed Inspirational Girl. You bought her as a yearling in New Zealand for $190,000. Was it a bit of a different experience not growing her out in the paddock yourself?
Yes and no. I bought her dam's full sister in Sydney as a yearling, because of the pedigree. I love the breeding of the Zabeel filly I bought in Sydney, but she didn't have the best conformation, and I realised that, but it was mainly the blood I was after, and she's been very good to us. She did win one race for us, but she's produced Demonetisation in New Zealand, who's a good group winner, and Neverland, who I thought was our best filly of the year, but then she ran up against Delicacy that year, so she finished up running second in 2 Perth Cups for us, and she was very good. And now she's got the next one is running well for us, Midnight Blue, who won on Saturday. So when I saw this filly in the New Zealand sale out of a full sister, I thought, that it was worth having a look at, and she's done a great job for us, so it worked out well for us. But she really feels like one of our own families now.
Yeah, I read a story where you were quoted as saying that as well. I know there's probably more for her to do over the Perth summer, Bob, but is she good enough to join your next travelling caravan that heads east, probably maybe in the autumn?
Well, she may have to. If she runs and does well in the Kingston town, she'd be out of all our races over here. So that could be a path for her, but whether she'd be ready or not, it's very difficult to get them from our carnival here to the autumn in Melbourne.
Mm. She'd be a good all-star mile contender if you could work out that timing.
Yes, it could be. We'll work that out, and we'll see how she pulls up after her next start.
Just a quick word on Willie Pike. He was cheered back to the chorus of the crowd. I don't know if you've seen social media, though. It was like a footballer when he came back into the scale. And you made the call to bring him back early so he could ride on Railway Stakes Day. He missed the ride on Arcadia Queen. But do you think that period in Melbourne has actually maybe even made him a better jockey, Bob?
Oh, I don't think so. He spent a long period in Hong Kong riding where he... I think he improved after that stint. And I think, you know, the crowd have just missed him being here.
Well, he is a public figure over there, as are you. Did you get a kick out of the roadshow to the east this spring? It didn't all go as expected. Arcadia Queen stood up and probably emerged as the Australian champion, which you must be proud of. Others stood up, and Regal Power, it ended very quickly for him. Did you, overall, did you get a big kick out of what your horses did in the east over the spring?
I'd give it a pass, Mark. It was, you know, we took six horses over. Two came home not well at all. And the one that really stood up and I didn't expect much from was Perfect Jewel. She went over as a bit of an afterthought. And after racing right throughout our winter here, and she seemed to get through it perfectly and came home probably the best of all of them.
What are you going to do with Arcadia Queen? What's her next mountain to climb?
We've only just got her home, and we're just, you know, checking her over and working on her, get her back to where she should be again. To see how she comes through, but she's a very good doing mare, so I'm sure that she'll recover quickly, and she may be able to go back again for the autumn.
Bob, just got an SMS coming through here. Can you guys please ask Bob about the full brother to Very Elegant he's bought? Is that right?
Yes, I was over there again this last year, and I've been admiring Very Elegant, and I had a look at him in the sales, and he had a bit of a knock on his leg, and I think a few people might have been a bit worried about that, and also very much a staying breed, which, you know, that people don't look for, and it was only because of her that I bought him. I very rarely buy a male at the sales, and I don't buy a lot of females either, but I thought he was worth a try because of what she'd been doing.
Well, look forward to seeing him. Another SMS, Magical Dream, what's the latest?
Well, we had to scratch her on Saturday so that Western Empire could get a run in the Guineas.
And he was stiff.
Yes, it was the barrier. He was wide all the way, as you saw, and came home very well. I'm just tossing up today. I'll have to make a decision whether we run her again this campaign, but I'm probably leaning towards giving her a bit of a break and then bringing her back for the autumn.
Well, Bob, well done again. No doubt we'll be seeing the famous colours. Inspirational Girl, definite to go to the Kingston Town?
Oh, yes, that's the logical step.
Yep.
And she's pulled up well. She'll meet, I think, the top five in the railway. She'll meet them worse at the weights, and but the rest that she'll meet quite good at the weights this next time.
Well done, Bob.
Thank you.
Bob Peters, Leviathan, WA owner. He just keeps churning out these superstar horses, doesn't he? I didn't know he'd bought the full brother to Very Elegant as well.
$140,000 he paid. Back in January at Karaka.
Interesting.
Just a quick snapshot. He grew up in this farm in the middle of nowhere. He knocked back going to the... He got a free scholarship because he was so smart to the most expensive school in Perth. He was just his farm kid. He went and worked for some motorship dealer and then took over the lot. And then it's just an incredible life story. And he was the youngest guy ever to be on the board of West Australian Turf Club at the age of 29 or 30.
Mm.
And he's a billionaire by the time he was 30.
Pardon me?
He was a billionaire by the time he was 30.
Through selling cars?
Through everything he did. He was just a freak. Whatever he did turned to gold.
That's why there are so many...
polarising figure over there too.
Well, he'd be a... You're a hard... You don't make $1 billion without being a hard man. And you would expect excellence from,
yes,
from everyone. Matty Welsh texts me through, as I knew we would, from racing.com. Timing is managed by Racing Victoria. Trackers provide the live feed that is used for on-screen sectionals at Flemington, Caulfield, Moonee Valley. They aren't available on the other tracks, such as Ballarat.
Mm.
Sectional times for other tracks are provided by Daily Sectionals post-meeting and are uploaded by Racing Victoria. The moment they are uploaded, we display them on the site. So I think that basically is saying it's not a .com issue, it's a Racing Victoria issue. The reason why timings are not up on their site as we speak.
But so Daily Sectionals is providing the sectionals for the other meetings.
That's right.
That's good. So at some point...
I don't know why there's a delay in putting them up. It seems like okay. It would be from Racing Victoria. The other part of that
maybe
issue...
Maybe Vince has had a sleep in.
Well, the other part of that issue is that Racing Victoria, if we're going to have these $500,000 feature Saturdays and a $300,000 Pakenham race, we need to get the timings across all of the tracks that are readily available.
At least your major... And
in play on live on screen.
At least your major provincial tracks. I think we all know what they are.
Standalone Country Saturday needs to have city stuff.
That was the last day of the Spring Carnival. So I think that's imperative. We need to take a quick break. On the other side of this, Martin Pakula, who is the Racing Minister, will have a chat to Martin about the Spring Carnival, but most importantly, when can we all get back to the track?
RSN 927's Racing Pulse presents The Verdict.
Car Ying Star, Southern Legend, joined, passed by Golden 60. Then came Mighty Giant, Golden 60. He swept away at the 100-metre mark from Southern Legend and Car Ying Star. Bring on the internationals. He's ready. He's Golden 60. He beat Car Ying Star and Southern Legend. Then came Mighty Giant.
I think he started about $1.10, Sharky Golden 60. He's the best they have over there. It'll be fascinating to see when the internationals do come to take on Golden 60.
Weapon. Absolute weapon. Turn of foot. He's got everything. Just travels nicely in the run. Quickens down. Just goes whoosh at the end of his races. He's great to watch. Very, very good to watch. He's their new star, Matty, in your favourite racing jurisdiction in the world. Bowl.
He's the fourth horse in Hong Kong history to win 10 in a row. He's won 12 of 13. Beauty Generation, Silent Witness, and there was another one. It's amazing. Like what that meeting yesterday suggested was the Hong Kong horses are pretty strong for the Invaders next month. Furore beat Exultant in one of the races, and they're going to go their own. One's going to go to the bars and one to the cup. And it was interesting. Hot King Prawn was a big winner, and now he's a grey. He's going to run into Classic Legend, the other grey, the new Hong Kong locals. So I reckon it's going to be... We haven't got it. Have we got anything going?
No,
we can't. No.
So at least got a Classic Legend over there to get some type of comparison as well. And did you see Grand Allegra over in Japan as well?
No, I didn't.
Japan.
I didn't have a look at the mile.
Japan Cup's next week. It is going to be the race of the year, without a doubt.
Best Japan Cup ever for local strength.
Unbelievable. Yep. One man who'll be punting on all of them is Martin Pakula, who joins us. If he's got any money left after Saturday. Good morning, Martin. How are you?
Oh, I'll tell you, I've been a bit in front over the carnival, but Saturday was a killer. Shocker.
There is no doubt about that. It was a tough day on the punt. I suppose if we would look back 6 months ago, we would have been pretty happy to be making sure that we get to Ballarat on the last day of the carnival. I think everyone within the industry, from participants, trainers, jockeys, the owners, the sacrifices they've made, and the administrators should all get a pat on the back that we have actually got through the carnival here in Victoria.
Yeah, well, I think since March, if I'm not mistaken, I think we might have missed one day. I think there was might have been the Mark Zara test, and I think we missed half a day or a day. And if you'd said that to me in March, I would have thought that was incredibly optimistic. And we didn't just get through. I mean, the quality of the racing in Melbourne during the spring, I thought was exceptional. Really, like, you know, from Underwood Stakes Day on, or even earlier, I thought it was just brilliant. I thought the Caulfield Cup and the Cox Plate and the Melbourne Cup were all really high-quality fields. And I think turnover, you know, sort of speaks to that. People were very engaged with the racing this year, and the fact that we got through it all without missing a beat, I think was a great credit to the industry.
Where are we at right now, Martin? Obviously, Daniel Andrews made an announcement yesterday, which, you know, the further loosening up continues. Masks are off and all that sort of thing. And there was a bit of a focus on gatherings as well. But it's sadly for the Jericho and the start of the picnics, it's not going to land this weekend, but we've got packing them up.
Or is it?
Yeah, okay. So where do we think we're at right now?
Oh, look, it's probably going to be tough with the Jericho, I think, just because... I've spoken to the Office of Racing this morning. So basically, we've got a public events framework in place where organisations that want to put on events make applications, submit COVID safe plans, and get tick off. The nature of that process differs depending on the size of the event. So if it's under 500, it's very different to, you know, a Boxing Day test at the MCG. We're engaging with the industry. I think starting today or tomorrow, I think that my suggestion has been that we talk to the three metro clubs and then probably CRV on behalf of all of the country clubs about submitting applications. It's not going to be necessary for a separate application for every single day of racing, because that would be completely unwieldy. And then GRV and HRV as well. Look, whether it can get away by Saturday, that's going to be tight. But certainly within the next week or two, I would expect to see crowds starting to come back to racetracks once those plans are submitted and ticked off by the relevant interdepartmental committee and the Department of Health and Human Services.
Martin, we saw some great vision in Perth on the weekend of the owners' area, with owners cheering home horses in group races and whatnot across the day. Obviously, that they've handled or been able to handle owners back at the track for a little length of time now. Has there been consultation with Perth and West Australian Racing over there about the process of getting owners on track so we can replicate a successful model?
Oh, look, owners have been back on country tracks for a while now, in a form or other. And we indicated, RV indicated a week or two ago that they'd start to allow owners back onto metro tracks. I think it was a fortnight back now, but it's been fairly limited in as much as they've been there for the race that their horse is running in, and then they've been leaving. And I think it's been limited to 30 owners per race. I don't think RV's been necessarily speaking to Racing Western Australia. We've had a very different environment here. If you know, Western Australian government effectively, you know, closed its borders the moment that the COVID pandemic hit, and have kept all and sundry out, and have managed to operate, with some reduced restrictions for a long period of time now. But look, the fact that we've had some owners back on track and that we're going to get crowds back on track over the next couple of weeks, I think it's just another step along the road that the economy's taking, but it's another great another great advance for racing.
Right. So, what's it likely to look like, and time frame? Because owners are one thing, but it's more about the GA. It's more about the average Joe walking through. So, in 2 weeks' time, Martin, if we say in 3 weeks' time, if we're racing at Flemington and or Woolamai, what do you imagine the crowd situation may look like?
Well, I think the first, under the public events framework, the first couple of weeks from now to early mid-December would be, I think, up to 500. But we've indicated that that'll move every couple of weeks, provided we maintain the current infection profile. So that's really promising. I think you'll see, up to 5,000... in a few weeks' time. But look, it might not take 2 weeks. It might be that a week from now, first country meeting of next week, there might be crowds, but the way it will look will depend on the plan that's put forward by country racing or by the Metropolitan Club or the venue, and that being signed off. I can't really speculate about, what the mix might be between club members and GA, but there's a process there in place. Office of Racing will work with the PRAs and the clubs to get their applications in, and we'd be working with the Department of Health to get them ticked off ASAP.
I know there is a bit of a sense of frustration, especially from a lot of people who see the racecourse has been used for markets on the weekend, and up to 1,000 people maybe being at a market, yet they can't even go to that same venue and watch their horse run or a crowd there. So is this plan ready to go, Martin, or do you think we're still going to have to wait a week or so to have it all ticked off? Because it does feel at the moment that racing, who has been so close to the forefront of all of this throughout and been a leader in being able to continue, has now kind of fallen behind pubs, clubs, restaurants and other venues that are getting crowds back when racing hasn't?
Oh, look, I think that's probably a bit unfair, Michael. I mean, the fact is that racing was allowed to continue for months while a whole lot of other parts of the economy were closed down. And they were able to continue because there was an acceptance that the people who were going to the track were people who were, plying their trade. They were going to work. And crowds, owners have been back now, particularly in regional Victoria, for a few weeks. The public events is different to hospitality. Racing is being treated no differently to any other public event, whether it's a caravan and camping show, a cricket match, you know, a Grand Prix, a tennis tournament. I mean, right now we've got significant negotiations going on with Tennis Australia about trying to get the AO back. So racing's not alone in as much as there's got to be a process for the return of crowds. They're in the same boat as a whole range of other public events. And it will simply be as much time as it takes for the individual racing club or the PRA to submit an application and a COVID-safe plan and have that resolved. And I don't expect that process to take very long. So it's kind of in the hands of those clubs.
And COVID normal moving forward, Martin, as well, I suppose until we get a vaccine, it's going to be a different 2021 as well, as so far as what type of crowds we can have back at the track. Have you got any idea what that might be looking like?
Well, I mean, just to put it in some context, we're working with Cricket Australia to have the MCG at about 25% capacity for the Boxing Day test. That's the ambition. We've also said that as we move past that time, the longer we go with maintenance of these sorts of numbers, we'll be able to gradually increase those capacity numbers throughout the sort of early part of 2021. So by the time we get to the autumn, you know, I'd be hoping that I think the All Star Miles at the Valley this year, I would hope that the Valley would submit, you know, a reasonably ambitious proposal for a few thousand people at Moonee Valley Racing Club, and you know, a very robust COVID safe plan, and that would be ticked off. So I'm not going to speculate about how you know, over what period of weeks and in what degrees those numbers grow, but the ambition is that you start low and you test it out and you test it out and you test it out, and as you can continue to move through a period of time successfully, you're able to be a bit more ambitious. It's what we've done with restrictions more generally. You know, we've eased them very slowly, very gradually, very safely, and we've seen the numbers come down to zero, and now we want to keep them there.
There's no doubt about that. Oh, one last SMS just come through. Does this also apply to the picnics? It's across all types of racing. Point.
They are a public event, and again, that's why I'm saying I don't expect Balnarring and every single picnic club to submit their own, you know, to do all their own work. We'll work with Country Racing Victoria to try and submit something on behalf of all the country clubs, so that, you know, once we've got that signed off, so long as everybody abides by whatever protocol is agreed, they'll be able to have some people at their events.
Fingers crossed, Martin. And any word on the tennis? When's the Open going to be on?
Working very closely with Tennis Australia, Michael, and hopefully we'll have an outcome in the next couple of days. I'd love to give RSN that scoop, but now we're not quite in that position yet.
All right, we'll keep trying. Good on you, Martin.
Good on you. Thanks. Bye.
Martin Fakula, Racing and Sports Minister. So, look, that's some... Everyone wants to get back as soon as possible, but to think that you could have up to 5,000 people back at the track before the end of the year, whether we've got a venue or a meeting that will attract that, but just to get people back in the next few weeks, that's exactly what we're all crying out for.
Well, I thought that was a really positive vibe.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like it's a matter of a week or two, not weeks and weeks.
And it's not just racing, it is all three codes, greyhounds and harness as well. Gents, we're out of time. Been another fun verdict.
That flew.
It did indeed. Maddie, you're going to be driving the ship the next 2 days. I've got 2 days off. I'll be back on Wednesday. So looking forward.
Doing? Helping with the renovation?
No, not helping
with
the
renovation. Wing yet? Have we got that sort of plans for the grotto?
The toilet's getting installed, that's all. All right, Sharknado, I'll see you on Friday.
I'm off to the farm for a few days.
Yeah, well, we need more winners on Friday. We've got to try and cobble together a bank before next Friday after last weekend as well. Maddie, enjoy the next couple of days. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back with winners for Geelong after this.